Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Hope everybody had a great little day and a half market holiday there. We've got plenty to catch up on and a lot to look forward to this week, so we'll take a look at the calendar. We've also got a report on an updated Model 3, news on Giga Shanghai and Giga Berlin, and plenty of other news as well. Looking at the stock, I'm thankful that we're pretty much right where we left off on Wednesday, Tesla trading just below $183 per share, up 0.03% on the day, narrowly green, while the NASDAQ, though, was down 1.6%. So really nice to see a bit of outperformance from Tesla after a rough week and a half or 2 weeks there. Over the last two sessions, Tesla basically flat while the NASDAQ down 2%. This outperformance is despite continued, probably increasing uncertainty around COVID in China. Lockdown type restrictions have persisted. Now over the last couple of days, protests have been breaking out. And today, Volkswagen announced that for the last week, they have had production paused at their Chengdu factory and put 2 out of 5 production lines on hold at their Chongqing factory. Both of these locations are still quite far from Shanghai, and Volkswagen might be more willing to shut down production than Tesla. But again, the uncertainty would seem to be rising. We've also got a report from Wuhua on Giga Shanghai. He said that China's epidemic prevention has been upgraded again, starting from November 26th. So Saturday, Tesla's Shanghai factory has undergone nucleic acid testing from once every 2 days to once a day before entering the factory. He also then adds a point, which he later clarifies, saying at present, employees are blocked at home and unable to work normally. But he said that maybe this expression is wrongly translated and that the employees who are blocked and controlled at home cannot work normally. They're replaced by employees who are not blocked in other shifts. So he says that Giga Shanghai is still operating normally with those shifts being picked up. So we'll continue to keep a close eye on how the status evolves there. As far as China goes, we should also be getting a little bit more data this week as we, within the next day or so, should get the weekly insured vehicle numbers for Tesla China. As we talked about last week, each new week of data gives us a little bit more confidence in where the quarter is going to end up, so we'll look forward to that. And then a lot of other exciting things this week, of course, headlined by the Tesla Semi event. That is on Thursday. Prior to that, we actually have a Neuralink event. That is on Wednesday evening. And then a whole bunch of macroeconomic reports, consumer confidence tomorrow, job openings on Wednesday, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell speaking on Wednesday, and personal consumption expenditures, or PCE, on Thursday. All right, next we've got a report from Reuters on the Model 3. They are saying that according to their sources, Tesla is developing a revamped version of Model 3, which aims to reduce the production costs and increase the appeal of the vehicle. Quote, one focus of the redesign, codenamed Highland, is to reduce the number of components and complexity in the interior of the Model 3 while focusing on features that Tesla buyers value, including the display, according to the people, end quote. All right, all things that sound pretty familiar to us from Tesla reducing complexity, increase the value, pretty much the roadmap that Tesla has followed forever. I think it would be reasonable to assume that any refresh would incorporate certainly the casting process that Tesla has adopted on the Model Y, probably both front and rear castings. Elon has talked before about how they'd love to do that on the Model 3, but would cause some production downtime, a lot of retooling. So probably makes sense to do that with a so-called redesign or revamp or refresh. Whatever you want to call something more significant than the continuous design changes that Tesla makes. If they were to do this, presumably that would also accommodate then a structural pack and 4680 cells. Now, the Highland name here is kind of interesting. You may remember that we have actually seen this name show up before. It was in a program plan document that purportedly had leaked. I think initially this had showed up on Twitter and parts of it had been blurred out, making it look a little bit more secretive. What got the most attention from that was a vehicle program called the Tesla Van under the Cybertruck platform, which was listed as start of production for the beginning of 2024. You may remember from me covering it at the time that this turned out to just be a program plan from globalautoforecast.com. It was and still is readily available on their website, so it definitely seemed like just a forecast from a third party rather than some secretive internal product roadmap from Tesla like it originally had been purported to be. Anyway, it's pretty interesting because the Model 3 is also listed on this plan, and the program name for an updated Model 3 set to commence production in Fremont in November of 2024 is named Highland. So interesting to see that come up again. Maybe that lends credibility to the entirety of this product roadmap that we're seeing here. I mean, obviously it could still be their assumptions, but they seem more well-informed if this program name is correct, which the Reuters report today also suggests. Of course, another possibility is that this program roadmap, which is by AutoForecast Solutions, and this report from Reuters could both be based off of the same information, which could be faulty, so I certainly wouldn't take that alone as confirmation. It's actually pretty interesting because Reuters report quotes somebody from AutoForecast Solutions, writing, quote, Sam Fiorani, who tracks Tesla and industry-wide production at AutoForecast Solutions, said the upcoming changes to the Model 3, which he understood were coming, showed the power of Tesla's approach in taking out complexity, They are always looking for ways to make EVs profitable and more profitable, he said, end quote. So obviously they talked to AutoForecast Solutions as a part of this report. Obviously AutoForecast Solutions believes the program name to be Highland. That could just be where they're pulling this in from, but still I think an interesting connection. Anyway, Reuters reports that this revamped version will go into production at Shanghai in the third quarter of 2023, and that it would happen at Fremont as well, but that it was not clear when production of the revamped version would start at the Fremont plant. So again, AutoForecast Solutions had that date as November 2024. Who knows if that was correct, but if it were correct, Tesla could potentially pull that up given the changes in the Inflation Reduction Act. We've already got some uncertainty with the Model 3 right now as Tesla has removed the long range from the design studio. And as we wait to see how the $55,000 price cap on that incentive for sedans affects Tesla's lineup choices. As for the reported target date of Q3 next year for Shanghai, AutoForecast Solutions, their roadmap only covered US or North America, so no targeted date on that to compare to. All right, moving on, we've got a couple of new pieces of information on Giga Berlin reported by Drive Tesla Canada. They're saying that last week Tesla hit a new single day production record at Giga Berlin of around 550 vehicles. Now, of course, that does not mean that that rate can be sustained consistently, but if it were sustained for an entire week, I believe right now Tesla's using 6 production days at Giga Berlin, that would translate to about 3,300 vehicles in a single week. Based on vehicle identification number or VIN tracking, it looks like that would be a little bit lower than some of that may have been suggesting recently, especially because, as mentioned, the sustained production is likely a pretty decent amount below that level. So it seems like pretty good progress, maybe not quite what people have been hoping for over the last couple of weeks, but still plenty of time to continue to increase that throughout this quarter. The other part of the report from Drive Tesla Canada here is that, quote, according to documentation seen by Drive Tesla, the third shift will start in mid-December, end quote. Reporting on when a third shift will start has been pretty volatile. We've talked about how that has moved around a few times over the last few months. Most recently, we had heard that that had been pushed back to sometime in Q1, so it looks like that maybe has moved back up, which you could view as great news because with that third shift, Tesla should be able to ramp up production significantly, or you could view it as not that good of news because maybe Tesla is needing this third shift to try to get to their goal of 5,000 per week by the end of the year, which we had previously heard would not require a third shift. So as with anything, pluses and minuses within, but I think anything that is driving production up is mostly positive. All right, next, another quick location-based update. We have talked about this previously. That is Tesla's imminent launch in Thailand. Looks like now they have started sending out some official communication indicating that this launch opening in the country will be happening very soon in December 2022. Looking at a few different sources, it does sound like the vehicle market in Thailand is just below a million vehicles per year, but I think that includes commercial and passenger vehicle sales. As far as I can tell, passenger vehicle sales are only about 1/3 of that total volume, and that is a market that is dominated by Toyota and Honda, with collectively more than 50% market share. It looks like the biggest premium or luxury brand on here is probably Porsche. They do about 1,500 vehicles per year. To estimate for Tesla, I'd have to do a little bit more research into exactly what tariffs and taxes may apply, but it would certainly seem likely that Tesla would pretty significantly outsell a brand like Porsche. All right, a couple more Tesla updates here. One on the Tesla Semi, Elon Musk tweeting on Saturday that the Tesla Semi team has just completed a 500-mile drive with the Tesla Semi weighing in at 81,000 pounds, which is actually slightly over the gross vehicle weight limit for an internal combustion engine Semi. That would be at 80,000 pounds, but there is an exception for EVs that lets them go up to 82,000 pounds. So not sure why Tesla didn't quite bump up to that. Maybe that would have slightly bumped them just below, but obviously with a full payload here, the Semi getting 500 miles, that's an awesome achievement, but we do still need to understand a little bit more about what the context and conditions were, if this was at highway speeds, if there was any significant change in elevation, all those sorts of things, but extremely impressive if this is sort of a normal operating conditions type of test that Tesla has done. So we'll look forward to hearing more about that on Thursday. As for this last Thursday, unfortunately, we still have not seen FSD beta version 11 start to release beyond just that initial set of employees, to my knowledge. But we did have a significant FSD beta milestone with Tesla now offering it in wide release beta for the entirety of North America. So this should mean that any customer that has paid or subscribed should be able to immediately access FSD beta, version 10.69.3.1, of course. I would think that this would drive the take rate up a bit, at least in the short term, and especially for the subscription offering. Usually when we see milestones like this, Tesla tends to increase the price. Elon had mentioned before that would happen when it goes wide release, but no increase this time around, at least as of yet. I think the timing here is really nice, probably intentional, as a lot of people, of course, traveling for Thanksgiving, having the opportunities now to show FSD beta to their families. On the financials side, this raises the question of how much of Tesla's deferred revenue for FSD beta will end up being recognized. Remember, Tesla has said in their last 10Q quarterly filing that they expect to recognize $1.1 billion over the next 12 months, most of which is presumed to be FSD beta related revenue. Now, remember, this is already a subset of Tesla's total deferred revenue. This is just what they expect to recognize, which, as we had already talked about, ended up declining at one point this year, which seemed to be a case of Tesla expecting to recognize more revenue for leasing in North America, but then not all the revenue for FSD beta in places like Europe and China. So this seemed to be the release that they were expecting that would then trigger the recognition of the deferred revenue that they expect to recognize. So it should be a big chunk of this on the table for recognition in Q4. And as we have talked about many times, if this does get recognized, Tesla then changes their recognition process going forward, recognizing more of that sale up front, which should improve their margins consistently moving forward. So I do intend to include a large chunk of that in my Q4 estimates. Of course, after we get the numbers, a lot of analysts are going to back that out. There's a good reason for that. Of course, that same amount of deferred revenue, that's not going to hit every quarter, so you've got to back that out. But those earnings, that is still going to show in Tesla's price-to-earnings ratio, and I do believe that the price-to-earnings ratio that shows has an effect on investor psychology and filtering and all of those things. All right, last few items here. You may have seen some reporting about Tesla partnering on a joint ventureship with a semiconductor manufacturer in China, apparently named Anix Semiconductor. As far as I can tell, this is not an accurate report. Their website is full of incorrect contact information, stock photography, dead links, and there is a dearth of information on them online, despite apparently being a big company. So we'll see if any more information comes out about it. But right now, my guess is that this is not an accurate report. And I also want to give some credit to Electrek for doing some digging on that before reporting on it. Next, just an interesting tweet from Elon, one of many lately, a lot of volume to keep up with there as of late, but Elon replying to a tweet basically saying that if Apple and Google were to kick Twitter off their app stores, Elon should make a phone. And he said, "I certainly hope it does not come to that, but yes, if there is no other choice, I will make an alternative phone." So perhaps Tesla related there. It's really tough to say which of Elon's businesses a potential phone would fall into. There would be cases to be made for, I think, all of SpaceX, Tesla, Twitter, Neuralink. I kind of agree with Elon that I hope it doesn't come to that. I mean, the phone market is really mature at this point in time, and it's just a lot of work to catch up, I think. More competition would be nice, and if anyone is going to bring that competition in, Elon might be the best bet, but he can't solve everything, and I'm not sure that that is the biggest problem that we've got right now. So we'll see where it goes, but as of today, Elon's jostling with Apple has continued. Lastly then, in a surprise to no one, Aptera, who had recently started a petition saying that Tesla's connector should become the, basically, charging standard in North America, has announced that they will be adopting for use in their vehicles Tesla's recently renamed North American Charging Standard. Of course, they still have to produce those vehicles, but if they do get there, they've got a shot at potentially being the first to incorporate that outside of Tesla. All right, that is where we'll leave it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, November 29th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.